There was another minister and I that were visiting and talking about the messages that not only that the Lord seems to give to us, but we get on Church of God preaching and we see a lot of messages that seem very similar and just sort of said in a little different way. So the song says, I love to tell the story. Yes. It also calls it the old, old story. So even though we may be saying much of the same thing, I'd like for the Lord to renew it. Make it fresh to us. Number of years ago, the Lord, and I've said it here before, but the Lord spoke it to me, and he said the messages are stacking up, and I believe that. I believe we're in a time of waiting and enduring to the end, and God's being faithful. He's continuing to have mercy. He's still reaching out, and he's not just reaching out to you. He's reaching out to the whole world. Yes. To the entire population of this world, he's reaching out. And I'm very interested in the population of the world. It awakens something in my mind. So I looked up some statistics, and I'd like for it to awaken you in your mind also. 7,450,000,458,560 population of the whole world in 2020. Other numbers that should mean something to us, that every minute of every day, 250 babies are born in this world. And when you think of birth, you think of death. So that number also has an impact. 120 people die per minute. And when you convert that to a day, it is 153,424 people die today. So there's a reason for us to be concerned about the population of the world and the whole world itself. And God is concerned. He is not concerned about just us in this building tonight, today. He is concerned about all of mankind. I want to quickly, I know the time is very short, and I pray that the Lord will help me to condense what he has given. I have to review just a little bit for last Sunday. We tried to address the scene of the Garden of Eden. We tried to cause us to see how perfect it was. Perfect happiness, perfect health. There was no sickness in the garden. There was no pain, no physical pain in the garden. There was perfect joy, perfect peace, and we even said perfect weather, which it was. I don't believe there were storms. There was perfect communion with God as they walked and talked with God. It was perfect. Now this is what was not in there. We told you what was. And there was no sorrow, no tears, no pain, no sickness, no violence, no death, for they ate of the tree of life. There was no separation. So that was how it was in the garden. It was perfect. And nothing as you and I know it in this world because I told you that we have not known anything but a world of sin and sorrow and suffering, was not in the garden. That's what God provided for Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve knew only good. They had no thoughts of evil. They knew only purity until the day that their knowledge changed. And their knowledge was not only of good, but was of evil. And consequently, since that time, it unleashed in the world the same knowledge of good and evil. I called it the Pandora's box was opened, and all that was evil in relationship to the good went out, and then in our whole world since that time has been trouble and sickness and sorrow and suffering and death. And it's been the curse of all of mankind. So that's just a little review of last Sunday. But the message ended last Sunday with four scriptures of hope. Four scriptures that we can look away from the evil and darkness of the world and we can have hope. And the first scripture, I'm not going to read all of them, just paraphrase them, was return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Seems strange to call people with hope a prisoner, but we are, if we have hope. We're captive to the hope that God has for his people. It then said that he would restore unto us double. Another scripture, and this is paraphrasing it, it says, thou may say to other prisoners, go forth. What we have heard this morning in testimonies and is like saying to others, there's hope. I went through this, but you're now a prisoner. I'm going to say to you, go forth. Go forth to those in darkness, you shall inherit. Though in darkness, that's just a paraphrase. Another scripture, they shall build the ruined places, the desolations of many generations. And the last one was, God said this, I will restore the years that the cankerworm hath eaten. So I would like to continue now with the theme of prisoners of hope. Hope is actually the theme throughout the entire Word of God. It's hope. Hope of the gospel is not limited to just a certain few, though a certain few may feel the hope. But hope is extended to the 7 billion people that we spoke of. Yes. 7 billion. God has the ability to offer hope to the entire world. So it's not just local. It's not just for the United States, because the United States was founded on Christianity. And all of the other countries that were not, I'm going to withhold hope. No, hope is offered to the entire world. Hope is something that can only be satisfied with the hope that it's hoping for. Nothing else satisfies like my hope. Hope in God. There is a song that we have, and it says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Just a phrase in there, but somebody had a real vision of what our hope is built on. There's another scripture in Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope. I'm just giving you a little foundation to our thoughts on hope this morning. And I trust the Lord will condense all of this that it can be a benefit to us. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. That's Romans 12:12. So we not only have a hope in God, but we are told to be patient in our affliction and to be faithful in our prayer. So we want to continue that thought, hope. I have a scripture also in Hebrews 6, verses 18 and 19, and I'm going to paraphrase part of that for the sake of time. It starts out and it speaks about the unchangeableness of God. If God was a changeable God, would we have hope? Could we trust? We could not. But that is the foundation of our hope, is that God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In whatever generation comes on this earth, if this generation passes away, another generation comes and fulfills that vacancy on earth, He will still be the same. Thank the Lord. I praise Him for His sameness. And that scripture also says that you and I can have a solid hope. We may not go around every day and think, oh, I hope this, and I hope an eternal life. We may not think those things, but at the very foundation of our life is hope in God. And no, nothing else. Nothing else can satisfy. In that scripture also, in Hebrews 6, it says, this is the one thing that you and I can trust in and hope in, is that God cannot lie. We may have others lie to us. We may even be able to look in their faces and be able to see that they are not being truthful. Man can lie. Man can fail me and you. But God is faithful and true. And He cannot lie. That is one of His unchangeable characteristics. You can trust that what the Word says, it will stand. It will be true. Thank the Lord. And then it also says, we have a strong consolation to lay hold on the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul. So you know, an anchor is very important. And we need this anchor to sustain us and hold us steady. He tells us in His Word that when we suffer, and we don't want to go too far into the suffering, we still feel like that's another message, but it says something good happens when we have suffering of every kind. Whatever kind comes into our lives, it's meant to strengthen us, establish us, and settle us. So God has a purpose. Let's not push it away. Let's yield ourselves to it and count it as an anchor to my soul. Over in Psalms, the 42nd chapter and the 43rd chapter, I'll just give you a little highlight of three verses. The passages, these three passages, points you and me to the only sure hope. And we won't even go into the reasons why it says what it says. But you can read those three verses in those two chapters because they're so similar. You can identify them. Hope thou in God, in whatever you have in life, whatever is written in those three verses. It starts out and it says, why are you cast down, O my soul? The writer here is talking to his own soul. Do you ever talk to your own soul? When you're cast down, do you go to these verses and you say, well, when I am cast down, I must hope in God. He's my only source of help. There's help for those that put their hope in God. So God is called the hope scripture. This is another scripture. I'm just not going to turn and read it. God is the hope of his people. God, he is the hope for our help. And we are needy creatures. In reality, the whole world is needy. The whole world needs this hope, and they need what God can do to help them. And when we pray, and I mentioned maybe something about this last Sunday night after Brother Dan's message of God being all-knowing and how we go before the Lord, and we use these same phrases, I do, and I believe you do too. Lord, you see. And I finish the sentence. Lord, you know. You understand. And you can put in there whatever you know that he is seeing about your life. And whatever he is knowing about your life. And whatever he understands about you. You can say, Lord, you see, you know, you understand. But you can also say, Lord, help me. He is the hope of our help. And we go before the Lord, and how many times do we use the word help in our prayer requests? We want the Lord to help this one and that one. And then we go before the Lord, and what do we say? Lord, help. So we need God's help. Yes. You need God's help personally. Amen. I need him personally. Yes. My battles are different than yours. Yes. Yours are different than mine. But God is the one that can help us in time of need. Praise God. So then it goes to Psalms, the 16th chapter, verse 9. Little phrase out of that scripture. My flesh shall rest in hope. My flesh, my physical person. I have a spiritual side. I have a physical side. I have mental, emotional. I have all that makes up man. And each one of those places of me being a human being of the earth, created by God, and he can help me to rest in hope. Now there is a reference on that, on resting in hope. Dwell securely. Oh, the enemy is trying so hard to disturb our peace. And to take away our hope. He is trying for us to be so focused upon the trial and the test and the burdens and the afflictions and this and that. Oh, draw our minds in. Focus on the one that can help and give us rest in our hope. James 1 and 5. If any of you lack wisdom, you might say, well, what does that have to do with hope? I'm going to tell you another way of saying it. I don't think it takes away from the scripture. So what does it say if we lack something? He says, ask of God. and he'll give it to you liberally, and he won't upbraid you because you're lacking in it. And it says, he will give it. It shall be given. So let's change it a little bit and not take away from it. Let's say, if any of you lack hope this morning, ask God. He won't upbraid you. He won't correct you. He won't put you down. He won't say, well, it's your fault. He'll say, ask of me. I'll give you the hope of life. I'll give you the hope of eternal life. I will give it. So ask God this morning if you need an increase of hope. So in 2 Peter 3 and 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Now this may not seem to have much to do with hope, but let's consider this scripture. It says, God is not slack. His promises are true. His promises, his word stands for all eternity. Nothing can take away from the word of God. You and I can take away from it. And the scripture says we can also add to it. But something happens when we touch the word of God and try to add something to it or take something away from it. Something happens to us. But it says he's not slack, but is long-suffering. Oh, this morning, I want so much for us all to be able to comprehend how good God is. He's so long-suffering. Has he been long-suffering with you? Has he helped you when it looked like you might be falling or failing, or maybe you have failed? Is that the end? Is it the end of the world if you fail?
No.
No. He reaches out. He's so long-suffering. You got to understand the mind of Christ. This scripture is going to tell us what it is. He said he's long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to, that's what he's willing for, that all should come and repent. So if I fail, do I just stay in a fallen place or failed?
No,
I rush to the one that can give me that rest in hope. Oh, thank the Lord. And he's not willing. Listen, he's not willing for 7 billion people to be lost. He's still offering hope to the whole population of the world. He's only saying, come and repent. How do you feel when you feel like you failed? And then you turn and you bow and you say, Lord, I confess. Forgive me. We tried to say some of that last week. Of the inheritance. The hope. Oh, we start out, we're talking about all the sins of the world. And we're talking about how wonderful the Garden of Eden was. We're not in a Garden of Eden. And we're not going to be in a Garden of Eden in this world. But there is a heaven that is even more than the Garden of Eden. But it has all of those wonderful things. No tears, no death, no separation, no pain, no sickness. Oh, I want to tell you, that's what we're striving for, aren't we? Isn't that our goal? Don't we have our vision set over there? Yes, it's our hope. Our hope of eternal life. And we don't want anything here to hinder us. Don't we think of that song? I want nothing here to hinder me. Of that hope that I have. Thank the Lord. I'll try to wrap this up pretty quickly. I have a scripture. And you may not understand when I'm reading it that has anything to do with hope. But I feel a hope in it. It's Psalms 103 and verse 14. And this is what it starts out and says. He knoweth our frame. What does that mean? I'll give you a reference on that for a frame. He understands our constitution. Well, constitution sounds like something of the United States. But it's not. What consists of you? That's what that means. What's your personality? What's your makeup? What is that part of you that you're influenced by your upbringing, your family traits? Do we all have family traits? Anybody have a perfect family? I don't see a hand. Because we all don't have perfect families. We don't have perfect influences. We don't have perfect... And we have these... My constitution. He understands it. It says he understands... I wrote this down. He understands my personage. Me as a person. Not one of us in here, even if you're born in a family, are you the same as all of the rest of your family members. You are an individual. I'm an individual. You're not like me. I'm not like you. We don't look alike. We don't act alike. We don't talk alike. We have individual voices. You call somebody up on the phone and you hear their voice, and they may sound like somebody else in their family, but pretty soon you know their voice. That's them. That's who they are. So God knows how to work with me. He knows how to work with you. Thank the Lord. I'm so glad he knows. I might not know how to work with you. You might not know how to work with me. Sometimes we try to work with each other and they might say, well, you just don't understand. God understands. He knows exactly what to do, what to say, how to shape you and mold you. I've been thinking about this word. Somebody said Wednesday night how the Lord had given me two words, and about as soon as they were given to me, they slipped out of my mind. I couldn't remember them. And the next morning, early in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, the Lord gave it to me again. And so somebody came to me Wednesday night and they said, you didn't finish the story. What were the two words? And even then I could only remember one. But I had it written down. It was temper. You know what God is doing when he's tempering you and me? He's the potter. I'm the clay. He has me on the potter's wheel. He's forming a vessel out of me. And he's the designer. And he knows exactly how to do it. He has his hands on your vessel. And he's working to shape us and mold us and fashion us. And he uses oftentimes our failures. He'll turn. The scripture says he will turn. Not the scripture. It's a song. He will turn that which seems to harm me into everlasting good. You know, sometimes we misjudge how good God is. We sometimes look at God and say, oh, we're so worthy of death. How can he forgive me? I want to tell you, as long as you keep your heart turned toward God, he's going to forgive us and have compassion and mercy upon us. So we are known, our frame is known, and the rest of that verse is, he remembers that you and I are dust. We're going back to dust. We're not going to live here. We have an appointed time to live in this world, and then we're going back to dust. And he remembers that, and that affects his attitude toward me and toward you. Thank the Lord. So I say this morning that we are all prisoners of hope, and we're always hoping in God's word. So Jeremiah 29 and 11, another scripture that doesn't have the word hope in it, but oh, it has such hope.
Yes.
And it says, I know my thoughts I have toward you. Don't you know God knows what he's thinking about each one of us here today?
Yes.
Thoughts of peace. And not of evil. Because I want to give you an expected end. Isn't that precious? Does that inspire hope? That he's not willing for me to perish? But he's wanting me to humble myself? Romans 5, 20 and 21. Parts of those verses, and I've inserted some words of my own, not to take away from it. It says, where sin, and let's just stop right there, because we've been talking about how sin was unleashed in the world. It came into this world, it was unleashed, and even now, this is my saying, it says it in there, but I'm putting it in my words. Sin is abounding. Do we believe that?
Yes.
Sin is abounding. More so than probably any other generation or time. I believe that anyway. But he says, but my grace abounds more. Does much more abound. So at no point in my life of coming down to the end of my life will I not have hope that God's grace will be sufficient. Isn't that wonderful? So sin hath reigned and doth reign. This is a scripture, part of the scripture. Unto death. Even so, grace doth reign through righteousness unto eternal life. That's our hope. So I'm going to end with a scripture the Lord inspired me with sitting in my seat. I didn't write it down, but it's a scripture. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. If I only had hope in this life and no hope to go beyond this life, beyond the grave, I would be so miserable. The next two or three words says, but now. And the next word is Christ. But now Christ has made it possible for me to have hope in this life and in the life to come. I thank the Lord for hope this morning. Amen.